Welcome to There Is a Method to the Madness. My name is Rob Maxwell, and I'm an exercise physiologist and personal trainer. I'm the owner of Maxwell's Fitness Programs, and I've been in business for the past 28 years. That is a long time, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a lot of fun as well. Love working out, love training people. So I'm going to talk about the forced velocity curve today. Before I get into that, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Jonathan and Lynn Gilden at the Gilden Group at Realty Pros. They currently have over 275 star reviews on Zillow, and they're simply the best. I can absolutely vouch for them. You want somebody who's a true professional, and they are absolutely that. Whether you're trying to sell your home or looking for something new, give them a shout. Their information will be in the show notes, easy to reach. All right, so let's give you a little science today, all right? There's a method to the madness. There's a lot of science behind all this stuff, and it's come up recently a lot for some reason at the gym, trying to help people with different aspects of their form, and that's the speed of movement and how does it affect muscular contraction. So the forced velocity curve basically means that it's an explanation, I should say, of how much load and speed affect each other, all right? So basically that means the heavier the load or the heavier the weight, the harder it is going to be to push it faster, which only makes sense, right? If something's really light, you can fling it up and down. If something's heavier, it's going to take a lot more force to be able to push it through faster, all right? So I say all the time at the gym that form is everything, and it is. It absolutely is. Now, something we have to understand is we can go faster or slower with our movement speeds in good form and bad form. So for some reason, it's often thought that doing a strength training exercise faster isn't necessarily in good form. That's not true. That's only true if you're using bad form and momentum. We don't want to use momentum. We don't want to use other body parts to essentially speed along the movement. For example, when you see somebody doing barbell curls or an exercise like that, and they're swinging their back up and down, that's actually using, obviously, the wrong muscles to speed up the movement. So that's bad form. But you can take a bicep curl and do it fast in good form. It all comes down to momentum and keeping the rest of your muscle groups stable, the rest of your joints stable. Now, why would we do such a thing? There's a method to the madness, right? So overall, in the beginning, we always want to try, for the most part, there's always exceptions, but try to use slower to moderate speeds because we're getting used to the movement. We're learning the form, and we're trying to get our joints, muscles, and tendons, and everything acclimated to the exercise movement. Now, there are some cases where eventually we may want to experiment with some faster movements. As I've been working with one of my clients lately who is more of a slow twitch muscle fiber person, all right? So we're born with a certain muscle fiber type. There's fast twitch muscle fibers, which I can go into a huge scientific explanation of all the different names and types. I won't do that to you. There's fast twitch muscle fibers, and they're the stronger ones, they're the faster ones, and they're the ones that go through more hypertrophy, meaning size increases. The downside to fast twitch muscle fiber is it fatigues quickly. Then there are slow twitch muscle fibers. And slow twitch muscle fibers have more endurance. It takes a lot longer for them to fatigue. On the downside, they're not as strong and powerful, but they don't fatigue as quickly. All right? So think of when you're bicycling for a long bike ride. You're predominantly using slow twitch muscle fibers. Now think about you're sitting on a leg press and pushing out heavier loads. You're predominantly using more fast twitch muscle fibers. Now, muscle fiber type is very genetic. It's one of the things that we really can't change. Predominantly can't change it at all. The only way there are some slight changes are with what are called the type 2B fast twitch muscle fibers. That's 2B. They are more moderate, and based on training, they can go either more fast twitch or slow twitch. There's not a lot of them, but that is the slight change that we can see with any muscle fiber type. You're not really turning the fast twitch into the slow twitch or the slow twitch into the fast twitch. You're simply getting the type 2B fibers to act more like one way or the other based on how you're training. So if you do a lot of running and endurance training, your type 2B fibers are going to be more slow twitch. If you're doing more heavy weightlifting and things like that, they're going to be more fast twitch. But ultimately, we are born with what we have. Now, most people are in the medium range, like 50-50, and that, you know, makes us, you know, very average. I mean, they both have benefits, as you might imagine. Elite athletes are going to be 90% in one direction and 10% in the other. So take an Olympic marathon runner. They're going to be roughly 90% slow twitch muscle fiber, again, genetically, and only 10% fast twitch. Then you take like an NFL linebacker or a sprinter, 100 meter sprinter, like a Carl Lewis type or somebody like that, and they're going to be 90% fast twitch and 10% slow. So again, we really can't change that. But here's the deal. We want to train both of them. It's important to have both muscle fiber types as trained and fit as possible. All right. So we can't become one or the other, but we can improve both. All right. Now, studies have shown that our peak strength starts to decline in our 20s and early 30s. Our peak strength does not mean we can't get stronger, does not mean we can't improve our endurance. No, but it does mean our peak strength starts to peak very early on. So somebody who is a weightlifter or powerlifter or linebacker, they're going to be at their strongest in their late 20s, early 30s. That's a pretty early peak. And then from there on, we start to atrophy a lot of our fast twitch muscle fiber. Now, the good news is if we work out, if we use resistance training, if we strength train, our fast twitch muscle fiber or our slow twitch muscle fiber isn't going to atrophy nearly as much. So we're going to keep quite a bit of it, but it's going to atrophy. It's going to atrophy more if we don't use it at all. Now, the fast twitch atrophies a little bit faster. Why? Well, part of that is unknown, but I suspect that a lot of it is because we quit doing a lot of the real vigorous exercise we used to do when we were younger. Let's say we're boys and we're out there playing tackle football. Whether we played in leagues or played with our friends, there's a lot of pushing and shoving and things like that. Maybe we did lift weights. Maybe girls or boys, whatever, we're playing volleyball with a lot of jumping and leaping and things like that, using those powerful fast twitch muscle fibers. We just simply don't use them as much as we did when we're younger. We still use the slow twitch. Some we're moving around, we're walking around, and a lot of people, you know, continue to do their cardio, you know, and kind of forget all about the strength training. But the slow twitch doesn't appear to atrophy as much. So we don't want either to atrophy. We don't want the fast twitch to atrophy because we need our strength, and it doesn't have to happen. So that's come up a lot. With my client, I continue to remind them. I said, look, there's only three ways you can activate your fast twitch muscle fiber. One, use heavier loads. So the heavier the load we use, the more fast twitch muscle fiber that's going to be activated earlier. That's one way. Another way is to hit muscular failure. So recruitment means that we recruit from the smallest muscle to the largest muscle fiber as we go. That means that early on in a strength set, our slow twitch muscle fiber is fatiguing. As the set continues, more and more slow twitch fatigues, we get to the fast twitch, And when we finally can't do another rep, we have fatigued our fast twitch muscle fiber. So that's a way, and that's probably the most common way that people fatigue their fast twitch muscle fiber after a certain amount of years. Problem with that is there comes a lot of fatigue, because when we hit muscular failure, then it's going to take longer for us to recover. All right. And then the third way, hence the reason for the podcast today, all right, taking advantage of the force velocity curve. If we move loads faster, we're recruiting fast twitch muscle fiber sooner. It's not that you're not going to recruit it or are going to recruit it, it's when. If you move a load faster, you're going to activate your fast twitch muscle fiber quicker. So for people that are a little nervous about going too heavy, and heavy is so relative, right? I mean, typically heavy in the weightlifting world is considered anything that you could do six times or less with pound for pound weight, meaning the hardest weight you can use for six reps or more. So yeah, that's pretty heavy. Now, I will also say that going heavy kind of gets a bad rap for getting people hurt, because really we get hurt from using poor form and not knowing how to do the exercise, which is poor form, you know, and or really straining ourselves. That does not have to happen with heavier weights, all right? But I understand that some people get nervous with it. So a nice solution is to simply go faster, but in good form. So I've been working on that with this particular person. And slow twitchers, you know, it's funny, us in the sports science world, just, you know, throw those terms around. We can identify it like, I don't know, I mean, anybody could identify a car out on the road. Like, it's just second nature to us. We go, oh, look at that slow twitcher. Oh, look at that fast twitcher. You could just tell by how people move. Slow twitchers, even when you tell them to go faster, it still looks like they're controlling their speed. This isn't a knock, because they're the people that go out there and never fatigue in a 5K. I mean, again, there's benefit to both. There's not good or bad. It's just the way it is, and how do we improve what we are? Slow twitchers should try to improve their fast twitch muscle fiber capabilities, and fast twitch muscle fiber should try to improve their slow twitch muscle fiber capability, because they're going to want to have more endurance, because we're trying to be as overall fit as we can. So this is for everybody. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. You know, as we get older, we really want to maintain our ADLs, or activities of daily living. That's strength. We don't want the muscle fiber, whether it be slow twitch or fast twitch, to go away. We want to maintain it to the best of our abilities. So my suggestion is start playing with that rep speed a little bit. Do both. There's always instances where both is good. Like for me personally, I'll warm up with a little bit lighter weight and slower reps. And then as I feel like I'm getting that particular exercise warmed up, I'll go heavier and do my reps a little faster. That's just common sense, right? You just don't jump into anything. But experiment with both. And you might find changing up the tempo gives your workout a little more excitement. It might not be as boring. There's different ways we can change things up to make the workout kind of fun. And there is different exercise we want to employ this with that makes it more beneficial than others. There might be certain exercises that you might have a vulnerable joint. Maybe it's a shoulder, maybe it's a knee. Okay, on those particular exercises, you're going to want to hold off on doing the faster movements, even in good speed or good form, for a while until you feel a little more confident. So I'm just, you know, asking you to use a little bit of common sense. But, you know, this podcast is the method to the madness. So why might you see elite lifters doing faster lifts? Well, there you go. They're taking advantage of the forced velocity curve. They understand that science says the heavier a load is, the slower it is going to be to move. So one way to overload it is to move that load faster. Another way is to increase the load. But one way might be safer, depending on how you look at things, is simply increase the speed that you're lifting the load. All right. Force velocity curve, term of the day. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's fun stuff. And I like talking about it. All right. Keep questions coming. Keep statements coming. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm willing to, as long as it's about health and fitness and nutrition. Now is the time to thank our second sponsor, chiropractic physician Dr. Doris Antos. She's absolutely the best up here in Ormond Beach, Florida, in Central Florida. Her office is located on Granada. She graduated from Palmer, which is here in Volusia County, as well, and she's been serving our area for a very long time. Does all different types of treatments based on what you need. And as I've said before, chiropractic is a key part of a healing athlete and a healing person. I absolutely swear by it. Chiropractic massage, acupuncture, a lot of different things we can utilize for our body. And Dr. Doris Antos is great. Her information will be in the show notes as well. Until next time, be Max Fit and be Max Well.